Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy Friday, John Hancock.
Back at you, big boy. It's a great Friday morning.
Buddy, this is like 2 weeks in a row of just unbelievable weather.
Yeah.
And it's been spectacular. I went to the game on Wednesday.
You did?
I think it was 49 degrees
it was
when
cold.
I got there.
Chilly.
I started thinking about opening day. You remember that back in, what was that, March?
Yeah.
It was 92 degrees.
Yeah.
What's going on with the weather?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Did you stay up last night and watch that Cardinal game?
I did, much to my chagrin. It's way past my
bedtime.
What do you
mean? We won.
Well, what's we did. It was a great game, a quick game.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, the bullpen, three shutout innings to close that thing off, 2-1 Cardinal victory. And, you know, this team's 7 games over .500. And as I may have
predicted
before the season began, that this team was going to be much better than all the pundits out there were predicting.
I listen, an easy prediction for you to make.
Not an easy prediction.
You were spot on, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I think I told you this last week. I've watched and listened to more games already this year than I did the whole last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a fun team. They're trying hard. They're stealing bases.
Two more hits for the MVP last night.
Here's my prediction.
Jordan Walker.
You have predicted Jordan Walker is going to win the MVP.
I did.
You will be wrong about that one, but I hope you're right. But I'll tell you what, this J.J. Weatherhold, man, he's the future.
Oh.
This guy's the real deal.
Yes.
He looks like a ball player.
Well, he is a ball player.
No, but I mean like a world-class like ball player.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Mike Trout when he's out there running around
say.
And stuff. Yeah. Am I crazy with that thought?
Well, it's a little premature, but...
Well, isn't it premature to say that Jordan Walker would win the MVP?
You just wait. 45 homers, 112 RBIs.
Was it premature when the President of the United States said this war will be over in 2 weeks?
Yes.
How about when he said that it'll be over in 2 weeks after that 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And
look, this thing has been mishandled from the get-go.
Should it have ever have happened?
No.
Okay.
And, you know, if the objective, and still not exactly clear on what the objective was, but if the objective was to stem their nuclear program, you put together a coalition of countries and impose massive economic sanctions. You know, we're already sitting on billions and billions of dollars of their assets, and now, to get out of this thing, we're probably going to have to give that money over.
Wasn't that what everybody was upset
with Obama?
With Barack Obama?
Yes, it is.
Boy, why isn't there outrage about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if folks are paying attention. But, you know, I think to go into this thing, this had been war-gamed for decades prior. In fact, one of the classified documents that Donald Trump kept at Mar-a-Lago was a bombing plan
of Iran.
For Iran.
Uh-huh.
And the wargaming on this always showed that Iran's response would be to block the Strait of Hormuz and to bomb U.S. allies in the region. Both of those things happened, and it seems like it caught us by surprise. Should never have caught us by surprise. And so here we sit, you know, a couple months in, and
almost three, right?
Yeah, it was the very end of February when we got into this thing. And
2 weeks.
Yeah, and I don't see how we extricate ourselves from this without losing.
Well,
an unforced error that's had global implications, economic implications. Every single person in the country, unless you own an electric car like some people I know, is feeling it. And, well, even if you own an electric car, you're feeling it at the grocery store because everything has to get transported somewhere.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just, you know.
Is that not part of the problem that the Republicans face in this upcoming election? I mean, Donald Trump said,
hey,
look, I'm going to stop all these wars. I'm going to bring prices down. Well, he started wars. Prices are going up as a direct result of what he's done.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. There's no question. I mean, you just look at what's happened in the intervening last year and a half of all the elections that have taken place. Every seat that has flipped from one party to another has gone from Republican to Democrat in the country. Every single one. And yet, Donald Trump's influence, impact, and importance in Republican primaries has never been greater.
Right.
You see what happened in Indiana with those races. And both of those things are concurrently happening. Trump clearly has a hold of the Republican Party and the Republican electorate. And he clearly is leading the party to what I think is going to be an electoral train wreck come November.
The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who's in his last governmental job, because, I mean, I think he's ruined his reputation going forward. I don't think he's got a chance to be president. I don't understand why he took this job. He went over there to be the guy who would be on bended knee to try to get along with Pope Leo, who's obviously one of the most popular people in the country.
Don't you find it interesting that they sent Rubio and not J.D. Vance, who converted to Catholicism?
Well, Marco Rubio is a Catholic as well. And a staunch, strong Catholic. And I really think it comes down to the rhetoric that's used and the way that Marco Rubio communicates as opposed to J.D. Vance. I mean, I think what Donald Trump likes about J.D. Vance is he's a reflection of Donald Trump.
Right.
Kind of that in-your-face, sassy, almost frat boy-like communication. That's not what you get from Marco Rubio.
Right.
And yesterday you saw, I mean, obviously there were some disagreements between the Pope and Marco Rubio and the direction that the United States is going. But I thought that Marco Rubio handled it quite diplomatically, saying, hey, look, we understand that the Holy See has these thoughts.
Right.
Can you remember a time during a war like this that the Vatican / the Holy See played such a large role in the dialogue that's taking place around this war? Of course, popes have always been opposed to war.
Right.
They've always been opposed to nuclear. In fact, the Holy See participates in the Nuclear Proliferation Agreement. They've always been against the use of and the growth of nuclear weapons. Yet I don't ever remember them being treated almost as an equal as it comes to the world dialogue on what should be happening.
Well, it's unique because the pontiff is an American, and that's never happened in 2,000 years, right?
Right.
This has never happened. So I think it's a very unique situation. And Donald Trump is a very unique president. There's never been one quite like him. And so, you know, you're going to have things that have never happened before happening, and that's part and parcel of what we're all living through right now.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those things that have never happened before, including redistricting and what's happening across the country after this on the Mighty Mighty Mock.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. I stopped by Starbucks this morning. I was up late watching that Cardinal game. I don't normally drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee?
No, I gave it up after what a COVID. I was drinking too much of it. It wasn't good for my heart.
Well, there you go.
But this morning I went and got one of those frozen drinks, right? You know what I'm talking about, the blended ones.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a shake than it is a coffee, to be honest with you.
All right.
And I went and got
Starbucks.
What do they call it? Frappuccino. By the way, the words that they use at Starbucks are so ridiculous. So I pull up and I say to the person, could I have a large frappuccino, skinny, no whipped cream? And they immediately say to me, do you mean a venti grande something or another? Now, Starbucks is on every street corner like a McDonald's. I mean, it's a part of Americana.
I don't like it.
What are we doing with these stupid names? I mean, who knows what Venti Grande, Demi, Trente even mean?
Well, somebody came up with that in the marketing department. What infuriates me is that what they call a small
right
is larger than what they call Demi. And so you get a small, you go in and say, I can give me a small coffee.
Uh-huh.
You know, which when you say that at McDonald's,
they give you a small coffee.
You get a small coffee.
Right.
And but when you say it at Starbucks, they give you
a medium.
Yeah. It's bigger than the demi.
It's not
I don't like it.
And it's snobbish. I feel like when I go there, first of all, you're a fast food restaurant, one of the biggest ones now in the country and for that matter on the planet. And you're trying to have this snobbish effect. Most people don't understand these words. And, you know, for the casual user like myself, we're wasting an extra 20, 30 seconds in ordering because I don't know what size I want. I wanted it a large.
Well, and I will say this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They got 6 different size cups at that place.
Yeah.
That's a lot of choices.
What's your Starbucks order? Small coffee?
Yeah. Small coffee, you know. And then it's, do you want Bold or Pike or blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I don't care.
Right.
Just coffee. I just want the caffeine.
That's all I need.
And leave room for the half and half that I have to put in myself.
Yeah. Well, how does that work when you go through the drive-thru? Do you tell them put a little half and half in there?
I never have gone through the drive-thru.
At a Starbucks?
I have never gone through a Starbucks drive-thru.
Yeah. I only, the one that I stopped in on the way here, I think the only way you can order from it is at the drive-thru. Hey, speaking of drive-thru, the Republicans are driving through the South and redistricting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw what happened yesterday in Tennessee as a direct result of the Supreme Court ruling last week about you can't necessarily draw minority-majority districts, which had always kind of been a staple of redistricting and protection of minority rights over the last 4 or 5 decades since the passing of the voter rights legislation, mm-hmm. Under LBJ?
Yep, 65.
That's all been rolled back now, and as a result, we're going to see a lot of districts, including one in Memphis that has got 50% African-American in it, be diluted now so that that's not the case. It will be Republican, a part of President Trump's efforts, but doing away with minority representation. I don't think this is a smart move.
Well, I don't think the politics of it are smart. I mean, I've been involved in 3 different redistricting efforts in Missouri, and it was always our plan to take the first congressional district in St. Louis City, and which had to expand into St. Louis County, and to draw that district so that it was an 80%+ Democrat district and a majority African American district.
And your motive was, let's pack as many Democrats as we can in there,
so that we can,
particular African Americans, they tend to vote Democrat.
Right. So we could then draw the rest of the state to be as pro GOP as possible. That had always been the political motivation. My fear or concern, I don't know if fear is the right word. My concern here is that if you take and start dispensing these Democratic pockets into multiple districts, you're potentially threatening the ability, especially in a bad year, which this is going to be for Republicans, you're potentially threatening to lose a whole lot more seats than you think you're going to gain here. And right. I think the whole political gambit to do what Republicans are doing could very well blow up in our face and result in losing even more seats than we would have lost otherwise.
Yeah, but John, many people in your party would say, hey, the Democrats do this too. Go look at Illinois. They've got a district that goes from, you know, right here outside of St. Louis all the way up to Springfield.
Yep.
My fear is now that we're doing this in the South, what's to keep in Illinois,
Nothing.
A Massachusetts
Nothing.
From saying, okay, the 1 or 2 Republican seats we have, we're going to do the same thing. And now we have districts where you have people representing the city of Memphis all the way down to the farther western part of the state where these people don't have anything in common. How do urban areas or rural areas get represented if we're drawing these districts solely for the outcome of a party?
Right. And you know, there's long been held through jurisprudence that communities of interest have a priority when you're drawing congressional lines. And that's not part of the Voting Rights Act. That's coming out of stare decisis, a bunch of Supreme Court decisions over many, many years. And, you know, how this is all going to work, I don't know. And we're already in a situation in this country where 47 of the 50 states have both senators from the same political party.
Wow.
That's never happened in the history of the country before. And now if you're going to take these states and have them be monolithic on their congressional delegations, that's just not good. It's not healthy.
No. It's also not good to have just two males in the room. I think we need some female energy in here, don't you?
You know, never hurts.
Let's step aside and we'll bring in Miss Amy Markscorse for the Chris and Amy show.
And you're sticking around for the whole 3 hours.
With the MSK right here on KMOX.
Nice.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.